the broken body and blood of Jesus. Mm-hmm. We're saying the same thing here about the offering. Don't bring a defiled offering to the Lord and expect him to receive it with great joy. And he's saying here in this verse, why don't you give that to your governor? Why don't you treat him with disrespect?
Now, you ask, now what could be a defiled offering today? A defiled offering could be something that was gained dishonestly. You stole something from somebody and then you give it to the Lord. Or you stole money from somebody and you put it in the offering plate. That's defiled. Also, something let's think of something.
Well,
else.
We had a man lie to us about a lawnmower. He said he was bringing this lawnmower to us. He said, well, this thing's almost new. Well, we got it, and the rubber tires were, the tread was weren't clear off. I said, where did you get this? Bottom line, we figured out he stole it from his landlord and was trying to give it to us. Well, we were not happy about that.
No,
and we gave it back to him, and we basically said, you can ride this thing home, but get it out of here. It's stolen property. Mm-hmm. Don't try to give that to the Lord.
Also, if he says, bring me the first fruits, and you end up bringing him the last of the leftovers, could that be defiled? Absolutely.
I believe it could be defiled. I believe you're off to the wrong foot right there.
Yes. When we bring the very last, what's left over from all the bills, and we say, Lord, this is all I have left, that's defilement to the Lord.
Well, I like what it says here in Malachi 1. It puts it pretty straight. In the 11th verse, for from the rising of the sun even to its setting, my name will be great among the nations. And in every place, incense is going to be offered to my name and a grain offering that is pure. For my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts, but you're profaning it in that you say the table of the Lord is defiled. As for its fruit, its food is to be despised. But you say how tiresome it is. And some people, Barbara, say this is just a tiresome thing.
Mm-hmm.
And some people think it's real cool in their churches. Well, you know, we don't take offerings. We just put a box in the back of our church and we just kind of drop it in as we come and go. What's the matter with celebrating to the Lord his blessings on our lives? I'm not ever going to apologize for that.
That's right.
And I know some people think that's real cool. I don't happen to be one of those. I think we ought to bring that tithe, and the person that's in charge of that service ought to hold it up to the Lord and say, we thank and praise you, and we speak a blessing over this, and we ask you to bless it.
Well, that's right. And it's just like so many good kings of Judah. For instance, I remember the Joash box. King Joash had a box, and the people brought it, and there were so many contributions that he had to say, hold it, stop it, because the people were just bringing so many. They were so happy and rejoicing in the godly king that God had given to them, and the wise king. They were pouring stuff in there. God loves that kind of stuff. Now here, Darren, he saw that the people were bored. They were bored with what was going on. They were taking on an apathetic attitude, a lazy attitude. He says, you sniff at it. You bring what was taken by robbery and what is lame and sick, so you bring the offering, and you just disdainfully sniff at it. That is meaning in God's language. That is saying, you're bored, you've become complacent, my name doesn't have any significance to you anymore, you're just saying it out of duty. This is not what God wants from us, people, friends. This is, God wants our heart. He wants our enthusiasm, the joy that we have in serving him.
Well, I think in chapter 2 it says, if you do not listen, if you do not take it to heart to give honor to my name. See, we're talking about this tithing being a heart issue, says the Lord of hosts. Then I will send the curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings.
Yes.
I know there are some people listening to us right now are getting their eyes open for the first time. They're saying, I've wondered what's wrong because I give and give and give. Well, maybe your blessings have been cursed by the Lord because your heart attitude hasn't been right. You have given out of duty and resentfully written a check, but you haven't operated in faith and love for the Lord and trust for the Lord. I wonder, now I'm not saying he has, but I wonder if you go and ask the Lord, have my blessings, have my tithe that I brought to you over and over, and some have tithed for years and never seen the blessing. Maybe they ought to stop and say, well, Lord, I've given it, but I gave it grudgingly. I gave it resentfully. I gave it, and I didn't want to give it because I had some other things, and I've always been short. How come this tithe, you say tithing works, why didn't it work? Well, probably we're talking about a hard attitude here. And also, if there's been a blessing or a curse coming down through your family, we need to get that reversed so the blessing starts being on your tithing and on your giving.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So it will result in a blessing.
Well, especially if there are idolaters in your family, those that have been idol worshipers, and that means of self. They have thought that their idea was better than God's. That's idolatry. And also we see people, Darren, every day, we see husbands pitted against wives. I get so many letters of wives saying, I tithe, my husband doesn't. Why isn't it working? Because your husband isn't tithing. It's a cooperative thing. When you get married to someone, God sees you as one now. And if part of that one is in total disagreement, it's not gonna work. It really isn't. And I admire your wanting to do that, but until the true prosperity, and you may be prospered for a while, but until that true prosperity comes. And I believe the prayer of the wife or the husband here should be for a change of heart of that mate.
Well, I'd like to pray for that type of situation right now.
All right.
Father God, we just bind that spirit of selfishness, that spirit of greed, Lord, that spirit of control, that spirit of rebellion and mockery, and in many cases even as serious as blasphemy. And Lord, we pray on behalf of those that have a marriage that's in disagreement, Lord. They're not in agreement. They're unequally yoked when it comes to tithing. So Lord, we pray for that person in the marriage, that spouse that is rebellious. Father God, we bind that rebellion, we bind that stinginess, that selfishness, that withholding, that spirit of mockery and blasphemy. And Lord, in its place, and we know our words are powerful, but in its place we loose a spirit of generosity, a desire to give, a desire to do it your way, a desire to set aside their will and say, not my will, but yours be done, Lord. And Father, we know that will bring great blessings. So we bless the husband or the wife that's doing their best to operate scripturally, and the other partner here is rebelling. Lord, we declare that rebellion is going to cease,
yes,
and that they're going to come into agreement. So when they come to the throne of God and to the offering table, that they will be blessed. And Father, we thank you, and we believe your words are powerful, and we thank you today that the curse is being broken over these households, so the blessing of Abraham can come to them. Father God, the struggles in this life just are not worth it. We need to get over into your grace and your favor and your blessing, and we believe by praying this prayer that we will see that blessing come in the powerful name of Jesus, by the power again and authority of Holy Spirit. Amen.